If I stop and think about it, when I stop and think about the charge that's committed to me and what the scripture says about teachers being judged more strictly, okay, I can do that. But you see, if I stop and think about things, yeah, I can still get very nervous. I can get scared, but I refuse to let myself go there. What I do is say, Lord, this is what I know you put on my heart to share. This is what I know that you've given me to do today. And so, Lord, I'm looking to you for your anointing to rise up within me. That, Lord, that you're gonna work through me today. In other words, listen, it's not about me. And when you get your eyes off yourself and you realize that it's not about you, what God is, where He's placed you, what your world is looking like, and what God has called you to do in your world today. Yes, it involves you, but it's not about you. It's about Him and what He wants to do in other people. And when you look at it that way, it's no longer, well, how do I look? You say, do you ever mess things up? Oh, you know I do. but hey, we're human too. We just keep moving on. We keep doing what God's called us to do. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 13, says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It says, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Now, some people have taken this verse and they've abused it. This is not talking about going to hell. You know how I know? Because of what it says. It says you lose your saltiness, you are cast out and trampled under the foot of men. Trampled under the foot of men. Trampled under the foot of men. That doesn't happen in hell. That's Jesus talking about something going. The whole context is about you letting your light shine here now while you're alive. You say, what if you've lost your saltiness? And let me just... Okay, I don't have much time because the kids are going to be up here in about 5 minutes. And I want to continue to try to finish making this point. The point is, when you lose, when you feel like that you don't have it in you. Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, probably about verse 6, he says, have salt in yourself. And in that whole context, he's talking about the way that you talk and the things that you do. Salt is a type of God's word. Let me tell you something. Anytime you begin to feel that life is becoming overwhelming, that the pressure's on, and you don't know what to do, I can tell you, when you start to feel like that you're going to crack underneath the weight of all that, let me tell you what you're not doing. You're not taking in enough word. The tougher it gets, the more words you need to be taking in. But I don't have time for that. It's like what I talked about last Sunday, the guy cutting down a tree. And his saw is dull, and his friend says, you need to sharpen that. Listen, this is what you do to sharpen your life so that the cut becomes more effective, so that you have saltiness. The savor is returned to the salt. You got to take in more word for your occasion. Okay? So he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Now, I want to start right there because, again, I ask you, the people closest to you, are they seeing gospel responses come from the hardships of life? Are they seeing that come from you? And he says, this is giving light. It starts within your own house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds. Boy, I'd like to take time now and clear up the confusion that exists. But Pastor, whenever I give, Jesus said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Oh, I shouldn't even brought that. Let your light shine before men that they, people around you, see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. So again, are biblical responses happening in your life? Look with me quickly at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Beginning of verse 5, Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, talking about our physical bodies, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. We are pressed on every side, but not crushed. How many of you know when you're getting pressed, pushed from every side, it can feel like you're being crushed? He says we're pressed from every side, but we're not crushed. Even though we may feel like it, we're perplexed. In other words, you don't know what to do. Everybody find yourself in a situation, you ever find yourself, you don't know what to do? You're perplexed about what do I do here? But not in despair. You don't give up, you don't quit. Why? Because there's something in you that gives you what you need, that goes beyond what you have when you say, Lord, you have put this person in my life. And they need help. And you have, because they're here, Lord, I have a role to play in this. And so, Lord, I make myself available to you in serving them. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to go about it? You ask the Lord these things. And then listen, because the Lord will speak to you. He'll give you direction. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. I want to ask you, how many of you this morning have a persecution complex? But you know who you are. And you're always looking around because you know everybody's against you, right? That's what people do when they're persecuted. They feel like they've been abandoned, that they're all by themselves, that they're under attack from everybody around the world. You know, everybody's out to get them. Well, okay, he says we're persecuted, but we're not abandoned because we know that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. We're struck down. Sometimes you get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. You lift your hand toward heaven and let the Lord pull you up. Listen, life in the world is going to mess with us. We go through stuff like everybody else. But we're to respond differently. We respond differently than everybody else does. Because we have the Word. We're to have a biblical response that comes from the heart. He goes on to say, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in us, our mortal bodies. We respond with the life of Jesus that lives in us, so that we can really forgive when people do us wrong and don't deserve forgiveness. You say, Pastor, can we really? I mean, if they don't deserve it, why would we give you? Because that's what the Lord did for us. I didn't deserve his forgiveness. But I'm so glad I'm a recipient of it. Listen, we can return kindness for evil when people do bad things intentionally. Joy strengthens us because we believe the promises of God. We hold tightly to God's promises instead of fretting and letting fear fill our lives. These are gospel responses when the pressure's on. Remember, the psalmist said in Psalm 119, what is it, about verse 10, verse 11? He says, thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's because the psalmist learned something. He knew that when the pressures of life come and begin to squeeze you. Listen, when the pressure's on, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will speak. Whatever's in your heart will come out. If you've filled your heart with God's word, I promise you, whenever the pressure's on, God's word will be coming forth out of your mouth. And that, when that comes out, that is your way out. That's what's going to bring you through. Listen, God's not called us to be weird, but to live supernaturally. Hear me, I'm going to end with this last point because my time is there. People aren't interested in what you believe. People aren't interested in what you believe as much as they're interested in what we believe that has changed how we live. What makes a difference? You need to work it in your life. Your life matters. Who you are in the daily stuff of life matters. I believe that God's greatest delight is when we reach people one at a time. We do big outreaches involve lots of people, and we show them the love of God. But I believe the greatest thing that God desires is for us to minister to people individually. Have you read how many times in Scripture, you can go back to the Old Testament, New Testament, Paul's epistles, you know, everywhere, you're going to find there's always these lists of names. Some of them you can't even pronounce. You think, what's wrong with these people? Can't they come up with a name that you can say? You get all these things going on. Listen, that's because God loves individual people. Aren't you glad that He loves you individually? Yeah. You taking time for the individual. Say, God, you put this, I'm gonna dedicate everything I can to helping to lift this person. I'm going to take time to do that. I'm just not going to just quickly, oh, yeah, you know, whatever, God bless you, and move along. That's not happening. We're going to take time with them. Take time for the individuals in your life. Okay, Teresa, where are you? Oh, there you are. Why don't you come on?